As we sit down today and begin to look at God's Word and study some of the truths that John wrote down for us in Revelation, you know, we live in a very troubled time, very divided time. And there are days that I think, is this ever going to be over? Man, this is a big mess. When will it be fixed? Well, today we get the privilege of looking into the future and seeing what God plans to do in the last and final aspect of what we call the human race and our world. I wrote this message for April 3rd of 2022. It's entitled The Angel and the Little Scroll. And if you want to open your Bibles to Revelations chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, I'm going to be reading from the NIV. My outline, the angel and the little scroll. Point 1, the angel of God appears. Point 2, the seven thunders speak. Point 3, there is no more delay. Between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, there's a pause that has two scenes. Today in Europe, we would call it a ceasefire. In both scenes, God's grand drama and the main characters are God's people and the prophetic witness during a time of trial. The first scene of this drama is written in chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, and we'll do half of it this time we get together and the other half the next time we get together. In this, John receives a prophetic message and is told not to proclaim them. So he gets these messages, but he's told they're just for him. He can't tell anybody else. Covering this first scene will take all of April and half of May. Then the second scene in chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, it has the entrance of the two witnesses and explains their environment. We'll get to these two witnesses in May, and I really like the two of them and look forward to studying them with you. So our text for today, I chose the NIV Reader's Version of Revelations 10, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was wearing a cloud like a robe. There was a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun. His legs were like pillar of fire. He was holding a little scroll. It was laying open in his hand. The angel put his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. Then he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. When they had spoken, I was ready to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said. Don't write that down." Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven. He made a promise in the name of the one who lives forever and ever. He took an oath in the name of the one who created the sky, earth, sea, and all that's in them. He said, "There will be no more waiting. But in the days when the seventh angel is ready to blow the trumpet, the last part of God's plan will be carried out." God told all this to the prophets who have served him long ago. That's the end. So before the seventh trumpet sounds, there's a pause. It starts to be described here in chapter 10. This pause gives John and his readers a chance to try to make sense of what just happened. Excuse me. Those were some startling and terrifying events. Let's pretend that I'm correct and the believers have not been raptured out of the tribulation. Many people believe and teach that there aren't any believers at this time, but I read it different. There are still believers with God's mark on them in the middle of the forehead seeing what just happened. We've seen the abyss, the smoke, the locusts, the pain of the people suffered from the sting of the scorpions when it strikes a man. And we, just like the children of Israel in Egypt, are kept safe. So I believe the believers that are there are sealed and they don't get stung and trampled, but they watch it all. And they're kept safe just like the plagues of Egypt didn't touch the Israelites. We've watched the change, watched the charge of those nasty looking horses and saw what they did to mankind. Can you wrap your head around all that? If you were there, could you wrap your head around the abyss, the smoke, the locusts, the horses, the trampling, the giant angel? Could you wrap your head around that? This pause could be to encourage God's people in the midst of the fury and horror of God's judgment. It could be that God pauses here to encourage them, gives them time to remember that God is still sovereign. God could be comforting his people. He could be encouraging or comforting them. He gives them assurance that he's not forgotten them and they will ultimately be victorious. They will win in the end. When we get to the seventh trumpet sounding that will mark the end of this pause, then there's a catastrophic bowl judgments. And they're rapid fire events that happen bang, bang, bang in chapters 15 and 16. So, our outline, point one, the angel of God appears. His majesty announces the authority and the divine source of his message. A on your outline, the angel of God appears reflecting God's glory. The angel of God appears reflecting God's glory. And your three blanks are reflecting God's glory. My best illustration I can come up with is our moon. When you go out on a clear night and look at a full moon, it's an awesome sight. It's just an amazing thing to see. Well, mankind's been to the moon. It's all dust and rock. And how could it look so cool on a clear night? Because it reflects the sun. That's what this angel is doing. We studied the glory of God's throne room in chapters 4 and 5. So, I want to read that. I chose the NIV Reader's Version of Revelation 4 and verses 2 and 3, and it read like this. The Holy Spirit took complete control of me. There in front of me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. The one who sat there shone like jewels. Around him was a rainbow that looked like an emerald. That's the end. So this angel, I believe, is reflecting that glory. Be on your outline. He had a little scroll laying in his hand. He had a little scroll laying in his hands. And your two blanks are little scroll. We will see two scrolls in the book of Revelation. The first contains the revelation of God's judgment on evil, and we're in the midst of that. The contents of this little scroll are not revealed. John gets them, but he doesn't get to tell anybody about it. See on your outline, the angel put his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. The angel put his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And I got six blanks for you. Right foot, sea, left foot, land. Reminds me when they were trying to make me learn how to march in the military. Left, right, left, right. The purpose of this mighty angel is quite clear. This angel has come to announce the final judgments on earth. His huge size may be meant to show how small God's enemies are. His right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land stands for the truth that his words deal with all creation. So his right foot there and his left foot there stands for the truth that he is talking about all of creation, land and sea. How could this section of Scripture be helpful for us today? How could it? Well, first, the truth of God's angels around us all the time can be comforting. When you read and study and realize that we're not alone here, there are good spirits and there are bad spirits, and the good spirits are much stronger than the bad spirits, and we got the good guys on our side. Two, knowing the truth of God's power can help us keep our problems in proper perspective. So another thing this scripture can teach us, that we need to keep our problems in a proper perspective. Like that giant angel is bigger than God's enemies, our problems are not that big of a deal in all eternity. And we can look at this and take comfort from it today. The third thing I thought of is we can remember that the truth of God's power is available to us to deal with our problems. So we see this all-powerful God here bringing judgment on the earth. And the Lord Jesus told us that believers in him, anointed and filled with his Spirit, have the power to receive amazing things in prayer. We have a tremendous power in prayer. Okay, this angel marks a big turn. These next judgments are not limited like the seal judgments and the trumpets judgments. The seventh trumpet will bring the seven bowl judgments, which will bring an end to the present world. So when this seventh angel blows and these seven bowl judgments are poured out, that's the end of the world as we know it. D on your outline. He gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. He gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. And your two blanks are loud shout. I heard the roar of a lion in Uganda, Africa. It was a lot of fun. But it was not what I had expected. The young females in that pride I saw did the hunting and the killing. Then they would invite the other members of their pride to come and eat. There was one big old male, most of his teeth were gone, but he was the ancestor, he was the male that parented, that produced this whole tribe, this whole pride. They let him come and get his head inside the antelope and eat. They all backed away and they let this old lion walk up, stick his head up inside the antelope, and have his meal. Our guide asked us to sit very still and be quiet as he did this. Then he pulls his head out. That big, beautiful, majestic mane was a mess of blood and guts. Julie grabbed my leg and went, "Oh, Bill, that's ugly." Then he walks off and he roars this loud roar. That's the signal for the young to come and eat from his mane. So then the little ones come and clean up his mane by eating, licking off all that's on it. This old boy's invitation to come and eat is very impressive. It gets the attention of the young who are sleeping and playing. And as we watched, the little cubs, that's what they did. They were either sound asleep or they were chasing and batting and fiddling with each other, pouncing on bugs. They're either playing or sleeping. So, Wilmer, what's your crazy story on Africa got to do with any of this? Well, my thought is that the roar of the biggest lion is meant to get the attention of his children. When that big lion roars, it gets the attention of all of his grandchildren. The roar of the mighty angel could be the same. This roar is to wake up all the sleeping and get the attention of those ones busy playing with their things or sleeping. I think that's what the roar is for. It's to wake up the children so they don't miss this. And to get their attention, because humans, just like those cubs, tend to spend a lot of time playing with our toys, playing with our stuff. So, back to our outline. The angel and the little scroll. First point we looked at, the angel of God appears. Second point, the seven thunders speak. This is hidden in part of John's revelation. Excuse me. This is a hidden part of John's revelation. A, John cannot tell us what their message is. John cannot tell us what their message is. And your blank is cannot. He gets it, but he can't tell us. Now, this has happened several times to God's people and prophets. It's a common pattern for God to show his prophet something that they don't get to show other people. One of them I thought of was Daniel had parts of his vision that he was not allowed to reveal to everyone. It's in Daniel chapter 12, verse 9, and it's titled The End of Time, and it reads like this. I heard a man clothed in linen, but did not understand. So I asked, My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? He replied, Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the end of time. That's the end of Daniel 12. Jesus also told his disciples that a time of the end is known by no one but God. He actually said Father. In Mark 13, 32 and 33, it's titled, No One Knows the Day or Hour. I chose the NIV of Mark 13, 32 and 33. Jesus said, About the day or the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. That's the end. So the Lord Jesus, even when he was here, all man and all God, did not know the day and hour of this event. Be on your outline. In Revelation, God reveals much of his plan, but some things are hidden. In Revelation, God reveals much of his plan, but some things are hidden. So I gave you five blanks. Reveals much, some things hidden. That's what God does. And what are we to do? What are we to do when God shows us this much, but keeps other things hidden? The best we can do is live content. I think that's the best we can do. Trust God in the middle of our partial knowledge, confident that God knows everything and governs everything for our good. So we just live content even though we don't have all the information, all the answers. We sometimes invest more time and effort in speculation about these last days than we do on living for God while we wait. I've seen that several times, that people get so wrapped up in translating and building doctrines around these last days that they're not really living right now while they're waiting for Christ. They're just all tangled up in the future, which hasn't happened yet. God has revealed everything we need to know to live for him now. That's the truth. God has revealed everything we need to know to live for him right now. He has revealed his Son. He has given his Spirit. That's really all we need. We could be ready for the end. We should be ready for the end. Jesus says no one knows when it's coming. So back to our outline. First point, the angels of God appears. Second, the seven thunders. Our third point, there is no more delay. The NIV Reader's Version of Revelations 10, 5 through 7 says, Then the angel I had heard standing on the land and the sea raised his right hand to heaven. And he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all of it, and the sea and all of it, and said, there will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. That's the end. So when this giant angel raises his hand and takes an oath, it's easy to see how we get what a witness does when they go into court. It's got a biblical basis on it. When I was a kid, you had to put your hand on the Bible. I don't think they make you do that anymore. But you still take an oath, and this angel takes one by the Creator of all things. So the announcement of no more delay is the mark of the conclusion of God's plan that will come with the sixth trumpet. Like the cycles and the seven seals, the cycle of the seven trumpets leads up to the second coming of Christ. A, this is the time Christ's disciples have been waiting for. This is the time Christ's disciples have been waiting for. This starts the last plagues of the day of the Lord. B, the prayers of the saints will be answered. The prayers of the saints will be answered. And your two blanks are prayers answered. Here God destroys sinners and establishes his righteous kingdom on earth. That's what happens here in this seventh trumpet. Here's the angel's announcement, bring everything and everyone's thought to the second coming of Christ as God wraps up his plan for history. The final scene of God's drama is about to open. Do you long for Christ's return? Do you look forward to that? Some of these troubled days that we live in, do you find yourself praying and saying, come soon, Lord Jesus? Or often I pray, come right now, Lord Jesus, and get me out of this. Take me away. Do you long for God's people to be vindicated? Do you long for that, God's righteous judgment to come and his believing people be vindicated? We could pray for God's justice to be carried out and his plan fulfilled. We could be some of those saints under the incense altar who are praying for God's kingdom to come, his will to be done, his justice to be ruled out on earth. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so incredibly thankful for you showing John these truths and giving us the opportunity to focus on how big you are and how grand your plan is and how we are parts of that plan. Small parts, but we're moving pieces in this plan that you have. I just pray that our hearts, lives, and witness would be such to help people be ready for your kingdom coming. And our lives would be ones that are ready for your kingdom coming. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Alone, who took on flesh, fullness presence of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I commands my destiny.